Welcome to Who Killed Whitney, a podcast investigating the suspected murder of Whitney Houston. I'm George Coloris.
And I'm Shakira DeMessier.
This is episode 3, room 434.
George, I am so interested in what was on that note.
Oh my God, me too.
That Whitney wrote the brandy. I am so interested in what was in it.
Do you think it's a key piece of information? Do you think it solves any of the mysteries, or do you think it's a red herring?
You know, I think it might solve something, because who goes around writing notes? You know what I mean? Like, she could have waited, called her, text her. I'm sure there's, you know.
Talk to her later at the party they're both going to be at.
At the party? Yeah. Like, you could do a number of things, but she felt in that moment, while Brandy was clearly busy.
Yeah, she's in the middle of something. Note
and pass it to her. So, I mean, I just hope it has something like of importance on it.
Yeah. And not just something lame, like the recipe to a cheesecake.
Right. Or just like, hey, girl.
Yeah. Bitch. Love your hair. No. You still owe me $25.
Oh, gosh.
So where we left off is that Whitney Houston and her whole family and entourage are in L.A. for the Grammy party that night. She's had a whirlwind week, and the day before she died, she had that premonition that the water is evil. So we begin the morning of February 11th, 2012, just hours before Whitney dies. We're at the Beverly Hilton. This is a historic hotel. It's located on Wilshire and Santa Monica Boulevard in Beverly Hills. It's the venue of events like the Golden Globes and Clive Davis's Grammy pre-party. And that's where John Edwards was busted with his mistress. So the hotel is a buzz. There's media and folks getting ready for the big party. There's celebrities showing up, like Gayle King is coming for that party. Quincy Jones is going to be there. Diddy, Tom Hanks. So it's a big event. And meanwhile, Whitney is upstairs in room 434, the Presidential Junior. And that room is located at the end of the hallway in the corner, which we all know is called the murder room.
I didn't know that.
No, that's a thing. Like, the room at the end of a hall and hotel is the murder room. Like, don't stay there or you'll die.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like, they have the better balcony and it's nicer and a little roomier. But, you know, so there's a toss up, like murder, beautiful view.
I've never heard of that, but now I know. I will never choose the corner room. However, I'm pretty sure I've stayed in a corner room before.
And you've not been murdered because you're here.
Amen.
Yeah, maybe you broke the curse.
Who knows? Who knows? Maybe I'm a ghost of myself.
All right, so let me paint a picture of the room for you. So this is a pretty nice room. It's in the hall. And you walk in, and directly in front of you is like a living room area with a love seat and a coffee table. There's a little desk in the corner if you need to do some admin. And there's access to the balcony overlooking the pool. Like, you can imagine having a killer party out there on that balcony. I think it's bigger than the room. The balcony is so big that there are three doors leading from the balcony into the room. So I don't have any evidence to this, but I'm just saying, if someone needed to enter or escape this room, there's more than one entrance.
Yeah, but there's no exit from the balcony. So if they were to escape the room, they'd still have to go through the room, right?
But in a comedic farce kind of way, like, you got on the balcony, you hide in the corner because there's like corners on the balcony. And then when the room is clear, you go in through one of the other doors and you hide behind the drapes and then, you know, like tuck behind the couch and you belly crawl your way out the room and through the fire escape. Okay. I don't know.
Got it. So if this were a sitcom.
Yes. Yeah. It's perfect for a sitcom.
Absolutely. But there's nothing funny about murder.
Okay. So from the living room, you walk into the bedroom. There's a big king size bed facing you and the bathroom's on the left. And the bathroom's really nice. It's all tile. It's got a big vanity to the right. There's also a glass shower. And the tub is built in. And there's actually a few inch ledge around the perimeter of the tub. So it's not, you know, in the middle of the room. And it's not easy to trip and fall into, is all I'm saying. It's very specific where it's at. I actually found video of this room that we'll be sharing in the show notes.
We are at the Beverly Hilton, getting ready to go into room 434. Can't wait to see what this... Is it really?
Yes.
Let's see what it looks like.
So this video is hilarious to me. Like, this family is staying at this hotel on vacation. And mom is like walking down the hall, taking the video. And there's a little girl and she's like, this is awesome. And there's like all these little kids running around and jumping on the furniture. And they're just excited. And the mom knows exactly what she's doing. She walks straight in that room, walks into the bathroom and videos that tub. Ooh. What kind of vacation is this?
Yeah, so bizarre. And also it was like just kind of rude to me when I was watching it. One, because that room was not that nice. When I hear of like, oh, celebrity staying in, you know, this presidential junior suite room, like I'm expecting opulence. Mm-hmm. This room looked like a big ass Holiday Inn. And I was like, what is this?
Okay, I'm with you.
Like they haven't updated anything. Like, what was that room? It was gross.
The name is nicer than the room.
It's nicer than the room, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I would have been disappointed if I upgraded to the presidential junior and I walked in and I was like, this reminds me of an embassy suite.
That's right. This is a Holiday Inn. And I really disapprove. That couch was so brown. Like, it was the ugliest brown couch I've ever seen. I don't think they've updated, renovated that room since like it was built. Yeah. So there's that. But then also like they're just barging in there as if somebody had not died in there. Like it was cool to stay in there.
Yeah. Yay! Yeah. Do you think that this family takes...
Weird family.
Do you think they take vacations to lots of celebrity death spots?
Like, they probably do, and like they don't tell the kids.
Just like, go all over LA and stay in different rooms that people have been in? Kids have no clue what they're actually doing.
And the mom's like, why don't you go in the tub?
Years later, the kids are going to find out. We're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, your parents are creeps, kids.
So like we said, according to all accounts, that morning, Whitney is in really good spirits. She's singing. She's playing music. She's super positive. She had breakfast with some strange men that she had yelled at the night before.
Tell me more about that, George.
Yeah. So I only read a little bit about this, but apparently some guys saw her the night before and she snapped at them because she thought there were some obnoxious fans trying to bug her. And then the next day she saw them at breakfast and she's like, hey, I'm sorry I yelled at you yesterday. I misunderstood who you were. And then she just, you know, joined them, ate a fruit salad, and just hung out with them for a few minutes and had breakfast with them.
I'm also interested to know about any cameras that were in the hallway. If this is like a pretty big deal, this party, these celebrities, there ought to be cameras in the hallways.
Yeah, you'd think. And that comes up at some point because some people have said that they've seen camera footage of the hallway that day and that they've seen people walking down that hallway. But I guess the hotel's not released it or the investigators have said that there's nothing of note. So there is some conflict as to what is on the video and if that video even still exists. But I would love nothing more than to get to watch some of that video footage.
Yeah, that's super important because I remember you saying that Mary had been there 40 minutes before death. Mm-hmm. So if someone else was there, let's say 20 minutes in or whatever, then that's something to note.
Yeah, and I think we would see some shit if we got to see that. I don't think there's nothing on that tape.
Yeah.
So according to the documentary, Whitney, she's listening to music. She's talking to her bodyguard, Ray Watson, about John the Baptist, which I always found interesting for some reason, I guess, because again, with the water parallels. Then she tells Mary Jones, her assistant, she's like, Mary, I got to get my shit together because I need to see Jesus, which is like a really ominous thing to say on the day you die.
Wow. So you said that she had a conversation with her bodyguard about John the Baptist.
About John the Baptist and asked him to play some music.
And when was that?
That's, I guess, after breakfast, but before the bath.
Okay. And then they do.
And they do what?
They do. They talk about John the Baptist and play music.
That's what Ray Watson says in the Whitney documentary, that she asked him to play some music and like on the radio. I don't think he played music for her and that she was just in great spirits. And she was, you know, because she was in this really happy place and she was reading scripture and she had John the Baptist on the mind and getting her shit together. So it just seemed like she's in this positive place and is really looking forward to her day. And then she starts calling everyone. She's calling her mom. She called Dionne Warwick. She's calling Pat, her sister-in-law and manager, a lot. And Pat's just not answering the phone. It's weird. It's like, why is Pat ghosting Whitney?
Whitney's bodyguard is Pat's brother, right?
Yeah. Whitney hired like her entire family. Like they were blowing through a lot of money with this family payroll.
Yeah, so wild.
And I think that's a lot of the pressure, right? Like, I've read reports where people are saying that she felt the need to keep the machine going because everyone relied on her. Like, her entire community basically relied on her.
Mm, right. Oh, that's rough. That is really rough. And I think her sister-in-law also had an assistant.
Oh, no, I think you're right.
Which is, like, wild. Yeah. Like, you have your tangential family members and their, like, employees on your payroll. That's a lot.
It's a huge problem. And as somebody who's employed family before, it's hard, right? Because you can't yell at them about work stuff. You can't write them up and then also have a pleasant Thanksgiving. It becomes really entangled and difficult. So I imagine that a lot of her stress came from having her entire family on the payroll.
Right. Jeez. I'm interested in hearing more about the calling of everyone, of like calling, you know, Dionne Warwick, calling her mom, calling her sister-in-law. I'm wondering if it was a check-in, because I'm not still 100% completely sold that this was a murder. I'm wondering if it was a check-in to say, you know, hey, what's up? You may not hear from me again, in not so many words.
Yeah, that's what makes it a little ominous. Like, is she somewhere making these goodbye phone calls? Like, I think the call to her mom is just calling her saying, I love you.
Right.
And Dionne was supposed to be at the party. So I don't know. Maybe they were coordinating, you know, when they were going to meet up. I have no idea what that conversation is about. You know, Dionne Warwick's not too open about her personal business. Everyone else is. She's real open about that. But her own, she's pretty mum.
Dionne's got the tea, but not her own.
Before she goes to the Grammy party, Whitney has a few other things she's supposed to do. She has an interview with VH1, and she's supposed to shoot an infomercial for a candle endorsement for Mary and P Candles. Now, I only know this because Pat awkwardly makes mention of it on the Oprah interview right after Whitney dies.
When we returned, the makeup artist was waiting in the lobby along with my executive assistant, and I told her to just wait there. Mary was going to check to make sure she was ready. Mm-hmm. She was actually shooting an infomercial for the Mary and P candle line that day. And I went to check on the room, which was on the same floor.
So is that what she was getting made up for?
She was getting made up for the event, but she had several things that was going on that day.
Got it.
It's like, Pat did not waste the opportunity. She's like, I'm on Oprah. I'm going to plug these candles.
Oh, my gosh. So who was doing the endorsement? Who was doing the infomercial for the candle? Was it Whitney or was it Mary?
Whitney.
Okay. And she was doing this infomercial for candles.
Yeah, for candles, which is kind of bullshit and low rent. And I can't believe that Whitney ever agreed to endorse candles. But then I realized the candle company isn't just some random bullshit candle company. It's owned by Pat, her sister-in-law.
Oh, my God.
Right? And they're doing like Whitney themed candles. So they're candles with like scents like love.
This is...
Which I... Can't even imagine what that is, what essential oils one uses for that one.
Yeah, I'm not interested in smelling. It smells like old butt cheeks. When you think of love, it smells like dirty old people making whoopee.
I almost bought one, but they're expensive as fuck.
Really? Oh, gosh. Okay, so Pat's candles are called Marian P candles. Are they still in stock? Like,
oh, they're for sale. Yeah, you can go and get a Marian P candle today and find out what love smells like.
Gross.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by them, but you know, they exist.
Okay, so Whitney was going to do this infomercial for this like random, not random at all, candle company.
Yeah, for this candle company her sister-in-law had opened, and she was about to do this big endorsement on these candles. Oh. Which is really interesting to me. And also, I know, had, you know, shit not gone down on this day, I probably would have owned a Whitney candle at some point. I'd have seen that infomercial, you know, hadn't been like, ooh, I'm going to do some retail therapy. And next thing you know, I got a $35 candle that smells like love.
It smells like two older people making whoopee. That's what I think that candle smells like.
You'll know when, like, Gwyneth Paltrow put out that candle, right? Just called Vagina.
No.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, right, Keanu, I'm not making this up, am I?
You very well could be making it up. I've never heard of this.
No, I'm almost proud of y'all. Both looked at me like I'm nuts. Hold on.
Well, maybe a little.
Because I'm not going to be talking bullshit. So yeah, she made the candle. It's called something like "This Smells Like My Vagina." And I remember I saw an interview where some guy asked her, and he's like, "Does this really smell like you?" And she goes, "Yeah." And he sniffs and he's like, "No wonder you got Brad."
First of all, doubt it. Let me tell you something, George. Vaginas don't smell like peonies. They do not smell like eucalyptus. They do not smell like lavender, okay? Or bergamot. That's not what they smell like, and that's not what they're supposed to smell like. They're also not supposed to smell like fish. So if it does, ladies, get that checked out.
They smell like Marian P. Candle's scent love.
Okay, so I want to take us back to Mary Jones. As you know, Mary's Whitney's aunt and longtime assistant, and she alleges that she's the last person to see Whitney alive. I beg to differ. Now, Mary says that Whitney gets into the tub and she's brushing her hair. Now, mind you, I saw in the Lifetime documentary, Brandy Boyle, Whitney's goddaughter, said that Whitney never takes baths in hotels because she finds them disgusting.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, George. I'm sorry, that excited me to no end. Never take a bath in a hotel tub. They're not cleaning those tubs like you think they're cleaning the tubs. They're like spraying something, they're wiping it down, and they're moving on.
They're just rinsing it to make sure there's no hair in there.
Oh my gosh. Unless you plan on scrubbing that tub yourself, which... That's beneath me, let alone Whitney, to scrub a hotel tub. I just don't see it happening. I just don't see that going down.
Yeah, she's not bringing her Windex to the hotel. It's just not, you wouldn't use it.
No.
Are you guys like that? Like, I have friends that won't lay on top of the linens in hotels. They take the blankets off. They are really specific on what they'll use and won't use in hotels. Are you like that?
No. I mean, I gotta go to sleep. When am I gonna pack my own sheets?
That's all I'm saying. I'm not bringing my own sheets and towels. That's the whole point of a hotel.
That's the whole point of a hotel.
Don't bring your black light and then live in ignorance.
I do bring disinfectant wipes, especially like for the high touch items, the remote, the light switch,
I mean, I just look at it. I'm just like, I don't give a shit.
George is going around licking things in hotels.
That's how pandemics get started. Maybe we shouldn't advise that behavior.
Yeah, don't do that. It's like some Ariana Grande stuff. She licked that donut and put it back. Did you see that, Kiana?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about. No.
Yeah, she licked a whole donut and put it right back.
Where?
In a donut shop. I don't know.
You're both like gossiping and also like, don't ask me Ariana Grande's business.
Is there video evidence of this?
I don't know her business.
I'm not her mom.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, there's video. If you type it in Google, it'll pop up. I just don't believe Whitney would get into a hotel tub.
If she thinks they're gross... and has a history of telling people she doesn't like getting into them. And then yesterday said the water is evil. I just think she wouldn't have taken that bath. Like, it's just really hard to believe. There's too much evidence that, like, this sounds like someone who's not about to take a bath.
That sounds exactly like someone who's not going to. If you had to pinpoint someone who will not take a bath, it's someone who says hotel tubs are dirty and the water is evil.
Yeah. That's really good evidence that they're not going to be taking a bath anytime soon. You can be like, hey, what's Whitney doing? Be like, I don't know, but I'm sure it's not taking a bath.
But then why would Mary say, if Mary was not taking a bath, why? I mean, if Whitney was not taking a bath, why would Mary say that she was?
Yeah, it's a strange thing to make up. And that's a lot of this is Mary's account is that Whitney was in the tub brushing her hair as she asks Mary to get her cupcakes. And in fact, according to Mary, Whitney asked her to get two, but says, oh, I'll only eat one, which, you know, is exactly what you say when you intend to eat two cupcakes. Like, buy two, I'm only going to eat one. It's like, Whitney, you're not wasting cupcake, right? I know you're better than that. What she's planning is I'm going to eat a cupcake before the party, then I'm going to eat cupcake after the party, which is like genius planning.
That is a lot of forethought.
Or she was expecting company.
Ooh. I don't know if I can trust Mary's account.
I think that's the problem, because this is the first time Mary mentions the cupcakes.
And was that in the documentary that she mentioned the cupcakes?
In the documentary, in the 2018 documentary, that's where she tells the story about the cupcakes. But according to the police report and articles in 2012, Mary went to Neiman Marcus.
Well, was she doing like a bad assistant thing? Like, you know, she was supposed to get cupcakes, but really she went to Neiman Marcus.
like she just went shopping for herself.
I feel like it would go the other way around.
Like she was supposed to go to Neiman Marcus, but instead she got cupcakes.
Mary just had to come up with an excuse as to why she showed up with cupcakes. She's like, Whitney told me she wanted them. I certainly didn't just ignore her wishes and get them for myself.
I want these cupcakes. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But as you kind of pointed out, Shakira, the cupcakes are not in the room. I've read the report of all the evidence in that room, and the cupcakes are not listed. There's no empty box. There's no frosting. There's no cupcakes. There's no trace of them. And there'd at least be the, like, you know, the little wrapper thing at the bottom.
Right. Or show me the receipt. Show me the receipt of the cupcake.
This is why you save your receipt for baked goods.
That's right. You always save your receipts because even if she didn't.
Yeah, you never know when you might need it.
That's right. She could have been in shock when she saw Whitney. Maybe she took the cupcakes. Maybe, you know, she threw out the cupcakes because she was like, you know, I don't need these extra calories. Mm-hmm. But a receipt will tell us what time she bought the cupcakes. It will tell us if she bought the cupcakes. I mean, is it too late to call the cupcake place?
I don't know if they keep receipts from 10 years ago. I know at my restaurant, we toss them out after 3. Mm. Then when Pat Houston is on Oprah, she makes it sound like she joined Mary and they went running errands together. She said they went to pick up something, quote, pertaining to the party.
But I was working in my room and decided I needed to go pick up something pertaining to the party. Mm-hmm. And
Mary, party that night, the Clive party.
That night, the Clive party. Mm-hmm. Mary checked on her before she left.
Mary is her assistant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She checked on her before she left. We were gone no more than 30, 35 minutes.
Why is she so vague?
Right.
What did you need to get this pertaining to the party? Mary doesn't mention that Pat came with her. So I have no idea what that's about. If that's true, if Pat went with Mary, if the two of them went to Neiman Marcus, if they went cupcake shopping, like there is a mystery of what was happening in those 45 minutes. And that's weird to me. That should be lock solid. We should know.
But I'm wondering, like, I can't implicate Mary because Mary's on the payroll and you don't want to kill someone who you don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah. Especially when you're the assistant.
Right. Like you want her to be alive so you can get a check. Right. Unless she was in cahoots with the person that was in the room.
I mean, that leads to a bigger conspiracy, but it's weird that Whitney is alone. She's like never alone. Apparently that was a thing. There was always somebody hanging out with Whitney. And these celebrities are like, you know, a commodity. You have to make sure they are taken care of. You wrap them in bubble wrap.
Yeah. And you don't leave them alone for 45 minutes.
So Pat mentions in her interview that I think is a little suspicious is that she's not staying on the same floor as Whitney.
Oh, yeah. She does say that.
And for whatever reason, she follows that up with saying, we usually do. We're usually always on the same floor, right next to each other. But this time, I was on a different floor. I was below her. So they always stay on the same floor. And ironically, this time, they're not on the same floor at all.
Yeah, what's that about?
And who books the rooms?
I don't know.
Mary does.
Maybe. Or it could be Pat, too, since she's manager. Yeah.
It's one of the two of them.
And she also said that she usually checks on Whitney in the morning. Every morning she usually goes and she checks on Whitney. This day in particular, though, I didn't, is what she says.
Yeah, it's like she was avoiding her. She's ghosting her. She didn't check on her. She's running mysterious errands.
What if she like figured out that, you know, maybe candles are worth more when the person is dead, like Picasso, you know what I mean? Like Picasso's paintings weren't shit when Picasso was alive. But as soon as that motherfucker dies, everybody's like, I need a Picasso. All of a sudden you want a Picasso.
That's what I said.
But she would have figured out that the candles would be even more valuable had Whitney filmed the infomercial. Like, that's Whitney right. not filming that infomercial kind of fucks Mary and Pete candles. So if I was going to use a celebrity to make my candles valuable and then off them, you can bet your ass I'd get the footage first. So that's where I think Pat owning the candle company absolves her. Like, I trust that Pat, she dropped the plug during the Oprah interview 3 days later. Bet your ass she would have made sure Whitney gave that endorsement if she could have.
Well, it's also interesting that Mary never makes mention of it. Like, Mary made mention of the fact that Whitney was taking this bath and getting ready for the Grammy party, but never was like, oh, she's getting ready to shoot this infomercial before we go to the Grammy party.
Probably because Mary knew it was tacky.
So tacky.
Mary's like, who are you, Olivia Newton-John? We're not doing candles.
Did Whitney agree to do this infomercial, or was this something that just was kind of sprung up and Pat just brought, you know, a crew to the hotel to film?
It might have been, because we know that the infomercial was supposed to be shot in a hotel room on her floor. So it may have been like, hey, Whitney, on the way to the party, let's swing by room 432. Oh, look at these candles. Aren't they lovely? And then just snap a picture. She didn't even know there's a camera in there. It's all like hidden camera bullshit, like Dateline.
Oh gosh. Yeah, so clearly, so what's odd is that the room that they're shooting in is on the same floor as Whitney, but mm-hmm. Pat didn't have the same floor as Whitney. So she was able to get a room to film this infomercial,
yeah,
but not to stay in is really odd.
And gave the candles the better view. Pat's on the lower floor.
Weird.
Maybe that's what makes the candles special, right? They're always kept with a great view. They sing to them. I mean, these smell like love. You take care of these candles. You know, you don't keep that shit in a warehouse.
That's
you keep
right.
it in a Hilton. Okay, so then I found this one random report from CNN. Holly Yan and Dennis Kwan reported that at 3:30, this unnamed music executive staying in the room upstairs reported hearing a loud thud and a man's voice coming from Whitney's room.
Ooh. So he was above her or below her?
It's upstairs.
Upstairs.
I guess room 534.
Okay. And he heard a thud downstairs?
Heard a thud downstairs and a man's voice.
And a man's voice.
I don't know who the executive is, and I have no other reporting of that, but they put that out there. So I'm just saying, allegedly, that happens at 3:30.
The thing is, how do you hear? I rarely hear. I lived in an apartment for a very long time, and I could rarely hear things happening below me.
Yeah, so imagine how loud that thud was. I mean, if you heard, oh, I don't know, a man yelling and then murdering a global pop star downstairs, that might make enough noise to where you could hear it.
He didn't say he heard screams.
He said, Whitney Houston, I'm going to murder you.
That is ridiculous. I want to know what the people, like, was there someone below her in 334? Because I find that to be more, if 534 said it and 334 said it, then something happened. But I just can't imagine hearing something below me unless it was like so loud. Like it was the loudest thing. And if it was that loud, wouldn't 435 hear it? Or 436?
Or Ray sitting right outside?
Yes!
I know that there's reports that the person in the room below noticed the water leaking into the room. So that's reported, but you would expect that from, you know, the room being flooded. So that's where we're at. Mary arrives to the room at 3:35. She walks into the room and the lights are out, but she had just left. The water has flooded the whole hotel room.
When I got back, there were no lights on. I said, what the hell? And I proceeded to step in the bedroom. Water came to my ankle. I said, what the hell? And I saw my baby floating in the, just face down in the water.
So Mary runs into the bathroom and finds Whitney floating face down in the tub. She gets Ray. He rushes into the room and he pulls Whitney out of the tub and he starts trying to administer CPR to her. I'd like to play the clip of Pat on Oprah telling the story from her point of view.
And after leaving the room where everything was set up for the infomercial, I headed down the hallway.
To her room.
To her room. Mm-hmm. And I heard screams. And I saw the hairstylist drop to her knees. And I kept walking very slow. Mm-hmm. A woman opened her door and said, "Is everything all right?" I said, "Dial 911. And I just kept walking. I didn't run.
When you and you didn't even know what you were dialing 911 for.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. But I see the makeup artist in the hallway drop to her knees.
Dropped to her knees saying, "Oh, my God."
And you knew something happened.
I knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what.
And so you didn't run? You didn't? You just?
No. Mm-hmm. I was just numb. I just walked. Mm-hmm. I walked. I told her to dial 911. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am too.
As I got closer, and I turned the corner, Mary's at the door and she's screaming. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I told her to stop. I said, "Calm down, please, just calm down. Calm down," without even seeing anything. Mm-hmm. When I got into the room, I saw my brother,
Ray,
mm-hmm. my brother, trying to revive her to the point of exhaustion. And I called his name. I said, "Ray." Paramedics was coming in at that point. Mm-hmm. I said, "Ray, let it go." They asked him to move. He was on his knees. Mm-hmm. He said, "I tried." He was so out of breath. Mm-hmm. I felt so badly for him. Mm-hmm. So badly for him.
What struck me about that video was that she walked, and she stressed that she walked down the hallway. Even when she heard the hairstylist, makeup artist screaming and was clearly outside of Whitney's room, she was walking what seemed to be quite slowly, and then tells Mary to calm down.
Yeah. Don't tell me to calm
Someone
down.
Someone is screaming outside of Whitney's room. Like,
yeah,
there's no room for calm here. And then she says, "I felt bad for her brother." She said, "I felt bad for him because he said that he did all he could do." And she said, "I felt bad for him."
Yeah.
You felt bad for him?
Let me point out someone else in the room you should feel bad for.
Oh my God. It was so bizarre.
Shakira, you are speaking to my heart and soul right now.
It ain't right, Kiana. It ain't right.
Amazing.
It ain't right.
Okay, benefit of the doubt. Pat, although she tells Oprah and everyone else she had no clue Whitney was doing drugs, which is completely preposterous. I knew. And I don't live with her, so I know you knew. Like, it wasn't a secret to me, who lives in fucking Atlanta. Right. You're right there. Of course you knew. But I don't know, like, when you're so close to someone and they do have addiction struggles, I think that becomes something that is in the back of your mind, that there always might be that day. I think the minute Pat is in that hallway and sees Mary screaming and everything goes down, she doesn't know what's happened in that room, but she knows what's happened in that room. I think she might be surprised to have learned that there was a bathtub involved, but I don't think she knew in that moment that this is what we've always feared.
I see.
And that's why she's walking so slow, because the longer it takes her to get there, the longer it's not true.
That's right. The longer it takes to be confronted.
So in Pat's defense, I see that emotion. I could see myself having a similar reaction.
I'm not in Pat's defense at all, considering those candles. I don't work for Pat. I don't know Pat. Pat, it's weird that you're selling candles and you want Whitney to endorse it. I think that's odd. She's not here to endorse your candles. What was also odd to me, and this is a sidebar, she called the hairstylist the makeup artist. Was she a hairstylist or was she the makeup artist? Which one was it?
So I've listened to this a couple times, and I think there's both. I think there's a makeup artist downstairs, and then I also think Tiffany Dixon, the hairstylist, is coming up because she says that she told the hairstylist to be downstairs, but Tiffany Dixon in the Lifetime documentary says that she gets off the elevator and hears wailing right when she gets off the elevator and runs to Whitney's room. So she got there seconds afterwards.
I arrived at the hotel at about 3. I got on the elevator. Once I got upstairs, I could hear wailing, and I immediately dropped my bag, took off running to Whitney's room. No one really knew what was going on. When I walked in, all I could hear was water under my feet. And I just wondered, well, where is the water coming from? Like, what is this, you know? And then I saw her there.
And again, Tiffany makes mention of like the water sloshing under her feet. Like everyone's noticing that there's like fuck ton of water in this room. And again, it's 45 minutes. Like how much water can flood in 45 minutes? Like I'm shocked that it's this much water.
Right. And was it in the hallway as well?
It's in the bedroom.
And if it was that much water, would it have gone to the hallway? Considering when you walk into the hotel room, it's the living room, and then to the left is the bathroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if 45 minutes, it was up to, I think you said it was up to Mary's ankles, like almost her ankles?
Up to her ankles. Yeah.
And so then wouldn't
which
it
is
have
like
been
how
in the
shag
hallway?
Is that carpet?
Right.
You'd think dripping downstairs. Luckily, right. Somebody turned off the taps. Otherwise, that would have been a huge fucking mess.
Yes. Who turned off the taps?
Because that's the other weird thing, right? The taps are off. There's water everywhere and the taps are off.
If the taps are off and if it is assumed, let's assume somebody was in that room. If the taps are off, then the person who did it had to have wet pants.
Oh, my God. You're right.
So
there would have been wet footprints.
Wet footprints down the hall.
Yeah.
Look for the guy with the wet pants. That's it.
Yeah. Look for the guy with the wet shoes. That's who did it.
Yeah. That's who did it.
Whoever showed up to that party with like sloshing shoes was the murderer.
Was the murderer.
Dude, that's yes. The key piece of evidence right there.
That's why the cameras are so important.
So important.
Or somebody come forth. I know there must have been somebody who saw someone who was like, why is just his ankles wet? That's weird.
Yeah. If you were at the Beverly Hilton on February 11th, 2012, and you're listening to this now, and you saw anyone with wet shoes around 4 o'clock, email us at tips@whokilledwhitney.com. We want to talk to you.
We need to talk to you.
We need to talk to you. Okay, so 911 is called at 3:43.
911 emergency. Hi, how you doing? This is security from Beverly Hilton.
Hi, what's going on there?
I need a paramedic. Apparently, I got a 46-year-old female found in the bathroom. That's all I've got right now, but they're requesting paramedics.
Oh, okay. Female found in the bathroom. What room is she in?
I'm not sure. She fell or she was in the bathroom with the water. 4-4-6-4? 434, I'm sorry.
That's room 434?
Yes.
Okay, and it's not east, west, or anything else? It's room 434?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, and you don't know if she's conscious of breathing at all?
Apparently, she wasn't breathing, and she's 46-year-old.
She was not breathing?
Yes.
Okay, but she is breathing now?
I don't know.
Okay.
She was, the person that called me was irate and
okay.
Didn't get much out of her.
Okay, you have
I've
security?
Got security going there now.
Okay, we'll send police and fire over there with that person not breathing. Did it sound like the person was still not breathing?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, we'll get in there for not breathing. Is there any way you can get me to the room so I can try to do CPR?
Yeah, we're going there now.
Can you get me into the room so I can try to get CPR instructions?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, because she kept hanging up on us.
Kept hanging up on you?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. We're good in our units over there, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye.
The guy said, you know, he or she was trying to ask questions about, you know, what was going on, but it seemed as if the person on the other line didn't want to give him any details. So all the concierge was able to say was that was the room number, was that she appeared to have not been breathing, and that's all that they could really comment on because they didn't have any more information. And it seemed as if the person on the other line, the woman on the other line, seemed to not want to give,
yeah.
You know, give them any additional
information.
So that's what's interesting to me, because Pat said that she told some strange woman in the hallway, call 911. But it sounds to me like the person that called the downstairs to have downstairs call 911 was somebody closer to the story, right? Was somebody who seemed passionate about it. I don't know. It didn't seem like it was, hey, I don't know what's going on. They just told me to call 911. Seems like somebody died.
Right. Right. I can also say that in that Lifetime documentary, Tiffany Dixon says that security told her to call 911. So it very well could have been Tiffany Dixon that potentially called down to the front desk.
That's right.
Right.
And she doesn't have very much information.
Correct.
She just arrived. She knows Whitney's not breathing and calls 911. Oh, that's, it might be her.
Could be. We don't know, though.
The paramedics arrived rather quickly. Right. They got there just a few minutes later, but it was too late. And they pretty much immediately declared Whitney Houston dead at 3:55 p.m., which was a hard sentence to say. Now, I think we should talk a bit about what the police found in the hotel room after Whitney died. Mm. And y'all, this is my nightmare. Whitney's room sounds like it was a mess. I don't know about you, but I always keep a tidy room. Like, it's one of my problems. Like, I refuse to make a mess in a hotel room. I guess because I'm not a pop star, but there she is. So there, that's what they're known for. I don't know. Am I weird like this? Am I normal? Do you guys feel like you have to keep a tidy room?
I mean, I don't keep a tidy room.
I don't even unpack. I'm serious.
I mean, probably not as tidy as yours, George. I mean, it's a room that is lived in. I'm not like wiping things down and making sure everything is placed where it's supposed to be placed. My towels, my dirty towels are on the floor.
Oh,
my,
yeah, no, always, of course.
My bed is never made. I'm not making my bed. This is what that fee is for.
That's fair.
You know, I'm not like trashing things, but it's not kept.
When we travel, my husband will just, it's like he takes everything he brought with him and just splatters it around the room. There's like socks and keys and shit everywhere. And then, and if we're out and about and he buys something, like the mess from that's everywhere. If he purchased like a food product, like there'll be the wrapper over here and the box over there. And then and I'm always going behind him and tidying up. And he's like, no, leave it. That's the beauty of a hotel. It's not your house. You don't have to feel bad. And I'm like, no, someone comes in here and cleans up and I don't want them to judge us. So I'm very weird about it. And he's completely the opposite.
You sound like my mom.
That's not even my problem. That just stresses me out because I feel like I'm gonna lose everything.
Yeah, you don't want to leave anything in the hotel.
Right, and you will if you put everything everywhere. Like,
yes.
Why did you actually put things in the nightstand? Why did you put things in there?
I never do that.
I love people who move in.
Some people do. It's like you're going to forget it. Do not put things in the nightstands or in the desk drawer.
I mean, I guess if you're going to be there for like a month for business, then go for it.
Sure.
But a week?
Right.
I'll live out of my luggage.
I know a dude who brings decor and stuff too. He'll like hang things over the paintings and really gets like his room the way he likes it. And it's like, you're there for a weekend. It's not that serious.
Oh, maybe he has separation anxiety. You don't know his troubles, George.
No, that's fair. I'm just a judgmental asshole.
Yeah, it is.
No, that one is a little weird, to be fair. It's like his decor is his emotional support.
My mother used to make us, we had someone come and clean the house when I was younger, and she used to make us clean the house first before that person came to clean the house. It's like, but that's what you hired them for. But I'm doing it, so why do you pay them to do it?
No, I do that too. I'm really annoying. Like, I pick up and then I get the first layer of mess.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
my gosh.
I want you to do like floorboards and crevices. I don't need you wiping my toothpaste off the countertop. I got that.
Oh, gosh.
I don't need you to think I live like an animal and just wait for you to come here. Like, I want you to think I'm a nice person who's just not that clean. Yes. Yeah. I have a lot of anxiety around cleaning
oh
stuff.
Oh, my gosh. You don't want them to think that you're a slob.
Whitney did not, however.
Yeah.
She just had her shit everywhere, right? According to the police report, the LAPD investigator, Christy McCracken, notes that there's
plates of food. That is a fake name, first of all.
Yeah.
Christy McCracken? That's a bullshit name. Yeah. It's like when someone asks you your name, like, Christy McCracken. It's like, it's not real.
It's my fake alias.
Yeah. Sorry for interrupting. That name threw me over.
Well, Investigator McCracken notes plates of food, beer, a bottle of champagne, just random prescription bottles and loose pills everywhere. In the bathroom, they find an ashtray with a bunch of cigarette butts, which is like, don't smoke in your room. And a small spoon with traces of a white crystal-like substance and a rolled up piece of paper. And they said in the drawer, there was a mirror with a powdery substance. But there's no clarity what the substance is, and they never find any drug in the room.
So she did all of that in 45 minutes.
Right? That's a lot.
She got some beer, got some cigarettes, then did some cocaine, and then got in a bath? No.
And also beer and champagne? Who drinks both beer and champagne?
Yeah, like what?
She's not tacky.
Right. I mean, what is she? Billy Bob Thornton? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really weird.
It's crazy.
It's almost like there was another person in there enjoying drinks with her. Because I can totally see having some champagne before the party. I could even see having some beer with lunch. I just don't see having a beer and a champagne before a party.
Absolutely.
I guess it's not a champagne. That's not how people refer to it.
That's right. You wouldn't crave both those things at the same time.
Yeah, it's just not how people do.
Yeah, it's not how people do. Did Mary make mention of any of those things before she left?
No, Mary doesn't mention the state of her food. Pat mentions that Whitney had lunch in her hotel room to Oprah. So that explains the plates of food. I assume the Beverly Hilton has daily service. So that's probably not yesterday's mess. So it's also like there's a lot of shit from just today. So now I'm going to move on to how Whitney looked. And I just kind of want to warn you, Shakira, and our audience that this is going to get a little graphic. According to the coroner's report, Whitney's face is bruised. She has a bloody purge in her nose. She's got a cut on her lip. She's got abrasions on her arms and her legs, which may have been from the True nightclub. But then the weirdest thing, and maybe it's just weird to me because, you know, I never took physiology or whatever, but there's skin slippages on her body, including her legs and her back. And then there's burns on her lower back, kind of right above her butt.
What's a skin slippage?
I'm not quite sure, but it sounds really disturbing to me.
Right. It sounds like melting.
Skin slippage, from my very amateur researching on this, is basically when the like very superficial layer of your skin starts to slip off your body. It usually, in normal death cases, happens within days. It's like a 3 to 5 day range that that'll start happening. But if you are underwater, that speeds the process up significantly.
So skin slippage happens after death?
Correct.
And so her body was exhibiting these signs of skin slippage just 45 minutes underwater?
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. She's not in that water that long.
So then are we saying that Mary did not go into that room at all?
What do you mean?
Well, if skin slippage happens only after death and she's only been in the water 45 minutes max, yes, skin slippage speeds up when you're underwater, but not to that extent, I assume. Not 45 minutes in. You barely begin to wrinkle 45 minutes in. So was Whitney in the water longer than what she said she was in the water in for? How long does it take for skin slippage to happen underwater?
That's a really good question. I don't know anything about this shit. You know what we need? We need a doctor, like a medical examiner or what? Like a forensic pathologist, right? That's the name of the person.
A forensic pathologist.
Yeah, we need one of those. Okay, if anyone is listening and you or your loved one is a forensic pathologist or a medical examiner and you'd like to talk to us, email us at tips@whokilledwhitney.com. We'd love to talk to you.
We have so many questions.
I don't know. This shit just doesn't add up. According to the coroner's report, the cause of death is drowning due to the effects of, and I cannot pronounce this word, atherosclerotic heart disease and cocaine use. And I Googled atherosclerotic because I don't know that word. And it's apparently when the arteries harden because of buildup of plaque in your arteries.
Mm. How do you get plaque buildup?
So they're saying she drowned because she had heart disease and did cocaine. And I don't see how those three things add up.
She drowned because she had heart disease and did cocaine. I don't know. I don't know about y'all. I've done cocaine. I'm not a stranger to drugs. I'm not an active drug user, but I've done it. When I've done it, I've never wanted to go get in a tub because that's not what cocaine is for.
Yeah, that's never the next thing I want to do.
Cocaine is not for getting in a tub, okay? Not for chilling out.
Yeah, that's also what's really strange. And then Mary says she was in the tub. So did Whitney get out of the tub, go bump a line, turn off the lights, then get back into the tub, then have a heart attack as she's getting into the tub and drown? Like, I just don't see how these factors add up. They don't seem to come together for me. And then there's just weird shit with the water, right? And this confuses me. So we're going to have to dive deeper into it in a future episode. But Whitney had these burns on her back. And the coroner's report notes that the water is super freaking hot, right? But there's no burns on her feet. So if the water's so hot that it burnt her back, but not her feet, does that mean that Whitney got into the tub ass first?
Right.
Because that's not how I get into tubs. Or did she fall ass first into the tub? But then why did it only burn her back? Because you'd imagine the water would be so hot it would burn her whole body.
Right.
So I just don't get how part of her body has these burns and the water is super hot and overflowing. It just does not come together as a cohesive puzzle to come to the same conclusion as the coroner did, that there was no foul play.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And can bath water be so hot that it burns your skin?
It can. That's why water heaters are supposed to have a thing called a governor that keeps the water from getting that hot. And I would assume hotels have those on their systems to make sure people don't scald themselves. Because you can scald the skin off your body if the water's hot enough.
And so I assume a hotel like that would have that function.
Yeah, you'd assume so.
So what are we saying? Do you think that the burning wasn't from the water, but from something else?
I have no idea. One of my first thoughts was that, you know, if there's foul play, if somebody was trying to intimidate Whitney, right, and things got out of hand and they were, I don't know, holding her under hot water, you know, like to, if they were really just trying to bring that metaphor to life, like you're in hot water, Whitney, I don't see how it only burned part of her body. I don't understand how this works. It just, none of it comes together and makes much sense.
Right.
It certainly doesn't seem like the evidence of a person who did too much cocaine, heart stopped while they were sitting in the bath, and they just sunk underneath and drowned. None of it comes together to look like that.
It's really a shame because I think just because of the stigma of drug and alcohol abuse, you know, if a person has a history of these things, it's kind of like, oh, this is what they died from and let's just move on. But that's not the case. In this case, it doesn't seem that way to me.
Shakira, I think you're right. I think it was just assumed, oh, Whitney Houston, OD. Oh, there was, you know, cocaine in the room. She must have been a drug-related death. It's the second sentence in the coroner's report. So they made presumptions. And that's my question is, how often does somebody with this history or does a crime scene that has drugs in it get completely dismissed as like an OD when there's an actual victim here of a crime?
Right. I would say quite often.
Like, and Whitney's super famous. You would think when it's a celebrity, we would dig in. But I think the media and the police and everyone was just like, oh, well, Whitney Houston OD'd. Next. Right. You know, and just didn't take a second look.
I also think because Whitney had a history of like erratic behavior coming to this.
Yeah.
She did. It was she. Her interviews were bizarre. It was erratic. And so, yes.
No, she's a lot.
A lot. It was a lot. So I think, you know.
She's a whole mood.
Yes. When someone like that, who we perceive to be that way, and there's drugs in that room, it's so easy to say, oh, it's the drugs. And we knew this was going to come one way or another. So.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened. I think we all did that. I mean, I made that same assumption that day in my car. And here we are now. Okay. So, Shakira, I have another thing that has been bugging me. Mary says that Whitney was brushing her hair in the bathtub. Does that sound right to you?
Absolutely not. I am a Black woman, and I typically don't give blanket statements, but here's one. We don't brush our hair or wash our hair in the tub. It's too much work to detangle, precondition, shampoo, deep condition. You're not doing all of that in the tub because the tub gets dirty and murky. So that's just not something that's going down while taking a bath. It's just not efficient.
And not certainly a few hours before a party.
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
And the report notes that she was wearing a wig, and I think it was a weave. But I don't think you'd brush the weave in the bathtub, would you?
You better not. Would you want to ruin your weave? Absolutely not.
That's what I'm saying. I bet she had an expensive wig.
I know. And I know that wig costs money. I know that wig costs money.
You take good care of that shit.
Absolutely. First of all, you take the wig off when you get into the tub. You take it off. You put it to the side. Make sure it's dry if you're going to wear that wig to the party. That's not something that you keep on. It's just, everything sounds so fugazi. Fugazi.
That's all I'm saying. This shit doesn't add up.
But Mary knows better than that. Mary is a Black woman. She knows better than to say she was brushing her hair in the tub. That's, what was she watching? Fatal Attraction? And said, hey, I'm going to say this. No.
It sounds like a nice activity, but I don't think that's what happened.
No.
I'm beginning to wonder if Mary left before Whitney got into the tub. None of what she says adds up to the evidence. And I'm beginning to wonder if our starting point, the police's starting point of Whitney was in the tub brushing her hair and I was only gone for 45 minutes, maybe isn't even the correct starting point of this case.
Wow. George, that just blew my mind.
Whitney Houston has just died in her room. At the same time, the Beverly Hilton is full of media and celebrities. There's a huge Hollywood shitstorm about to erupt, and the most outrageous character yet enters the story on the next episode of Who Killed Whitney. Listeners, if you want to find out what happens next, make sure to like and subscribe so you can get all of our episodes.
And y'all, did you know that you could be a part of the show? Go ahead and tell us what you think online at Who Killed Whitney, or you can email us your thoughts and theories at tips@whokilledwhitney.com.
Who Killed Whitney is a Tucker Media production. Thank you to our producer, Kiana Kirkendall, and to Louis Aronovitz, who composed our theme song. I've never thought of it before. Like, when does she write that fucking note?
She's at front desk. Like, do you guys have a piece of paper and a pencil that I can borrow?
Yeah. Does she walk? She's like walking from the pool and she goes, oh, wait, there's Brandy. You know what? I need to tell her about how I want to bring a potato salad to her cookout next weekend. So, and then she goes to reception. She gets a note and then she goes, oh, okay, I could just tell her at the party because we're both going to be there later, but I'm just going to walk in right now and hand her this note.
Yeah. While she's doing an interview.
Oh, my God.
It's wild.
So weird. And why Brandy's not talking all the time? No, it's just like, it's probably so insignificant. I think one day we're going to find the note. It's going to be like after Brandy dies, like the FBI will release it 20 years later and it's going to be so insignificant.
Or Brandy's really smart and she's like, I'm going to wait 20 years before I say what's on this note for clout.
Dang, do anything for clout. That's crazy.
No, yeah, she should. If she ever fades, she should do like, you know how like Carly Simon like did an auction and she'll tell you who that song was about? Like Brandy should just do a big auction and be like, I will give you the note. And then it'll be blank or something. It'll be terrible.
Oh, I bet that will go for so much money.
So much money. I mean, I will invest my entire life fortune in it. I know that.
So. No, that's for certain.
Just for it to be no words, it's not even like legible.
Even if it was fascinating, if it was like, hey, I think Ray J is trying to kill me. I can imagine the first line in the divorce filing would be my husband going, spent all our money on a note. We're in the poorhouse, but we have this note. When's the last time you wrote a note and passed it to someone? And like slyly passed a note to someone? Like since high school? Maybe college?
No, I can't remember writing a note. And George, I would love to know what kind of notes you're writing in college. Like, who were you writing to in college? Little notes. Well,
I have a distinct memory of like being in a lecture and passing notes back and forth between me and this girl named Andy, because we weren't paying attention. And actually, it was the entire junior class was in this lecture, right? Like all of us were in there. No one was paying attention. Everyone was passing notes, but I'm the one who got spotted by the professor and he stops the lecture and he looks at me. He's like, excuse me. And then he calls me out and like asks me if I want to read the note in front of everyone. Like I just got busted passing a note in elementary school. So that's immediately what came to mind was I think that's the last time I passed a note was when I got publicly humiliated for it at 19.
That's not very nice. He didn't have to do all that.
I want to know what you were writing in that note.
oh, probably some bullshit. Like, let's go hang out on Friday, or like, I'm hungover. This class is boring. It was not interesting.
But what about texting? Was that like not an option?
No, no, because I'm way old.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah.
I didn't have a cell phone until the next year after this happened.
Not even the Nokia? The Nokia block phones?
No, nothing. Yeah, those hadn't come out yet.
Those are good.
You didn't know George is from the fossil age?
Yeah. Yeah, the 90s.
I miss it.